Today we have the great privilege of celebrating this solemnity of Our Blessed Lady's Immaculate Conception. We have to recognize the extraordinary nature of this feast. There are only four people who were ever created without original sin. That is Adam and Eve, and Mary and Jesus. Everybody else, we inherited the sin of our first parents. And we see the difference between what happened with our first parents and what happened with our Blessed Lady. We know that Eve decided that she would talk to an angel, a fallen angel. And rather than reacting in faith, she instead went along with the doubt and fell. Mary, on the other hand, also interacted with an angel. And while she didn't understand what it was that the angel was speaking to her, she reacted in faith and brought about our salvation, undoing the knot that had been done at the beginning of creation. So she is the mother of all the living. She was given this grace of her Immaculate Conception, which literally means a conception without stain. The stain of original sin was not on her soul at the moment she was conceived in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. It tells us something about the holiness of her parents. Obviously, her parents had nothing per se to do with the immaculate aspect of her conception. But we also have to look at it and assume that God is not going to bless something that was not pure, something that was lacking in perfection, which tells us that the holiness of Joachim and Anna was so profound, and the love that they had between them was so profound, that in the act that brought about the conception of their daughter was so holy that God could then create a soul to infuse into the body that was prepared by the parents, a soul that was without original sin. It is that which we see even in the words of the Archangel Gabriel when he appears to our Blessed Lady and refers to her as full of grace. There is lots of discussion about exactly what that means and how do we understand it, because the word that's used there, kacharitomene in Greek, is the only place in the entire Bible that that word is used. St. Luke uses the same term, that is the same phrase of fullness of grace, when he's talking about St. Stephen. And that's in the Acts of the Apostles, the sixth chapter. So we have, again, the same author here. And when he talks about St. Stephen being full of grace, he simply refers to him as pleires charitos, fullness of grace. But that's not how the angel referred to Our Lady. That's not the word that St. Luke used regarding Our Blessed Lady. Now, if you're some kind of a word addict or junkie or something, kacharitomene is a passive perfect participle of the word charito'o, and what it means is that the grace is already there. It's something that happened previously. In other words, when the angel is appearing to Our Blessed Lady, he's not saying, you are about to receive an extraordinary grace, but rather he's saying, the grace has already been given. The fullness of grace is already there. That's the important part to understand, is that this isn't about what was going to happen, it's what has already happened in Our Blessed Lady's soul. And so she had received that grace at the moment of her conception. And that is what the church is honoring and celebrating today, that by God's grace, by his love for us, he has chosen one human person. And I think this is the other part of this that we need to be aware of. Jesus, of course, is fully human, but he's not a human person. He is a divine person. So his fullness of grace is different from Our Lady's because he is grace itself. So he is full of grace, but in an absolute sense. Mary is full of grace, but in a relative sense. In other words, she was always as full of grace as she possibly could be at any instant. At every instant of her life, she grew in grace. But the grace in our Lord is infinite. The grace in Our Lady is finite because she's finite. And so we can't compare that fullness of grace between the two of them. Interestingly, St. John also calls Jesus full of grace and uses the same term that Luke used in Acts, pleres charitos. And so it is a different fullness of grace that we're talking about. So what it means is that our Blessed Lady is the only human person ever to be conceived without sin. Adam and Eve were not conceived, they were simply created. Jesus was conceived, but he's not a human person. So there is one human person in all of creation who was conceived without sin. And that is our Blessed Lady. What that means is not only that she is free from sin and from all of the effects of sin, it means that from the very first instant of her existence, she was the holiest human person ever to exist. Now, what's interesting is when we read somebody like St. John of the Cross, when he talks about our growth in holiness, he says, if you make it to that point of perfection, he said, one act of perfect love. So the first thing that happens when you achieve that matter of spiritual perfection, one act of perfect love is worth more than everything else you have ever done in your life combined. That's pretty astounding if you stop to think of how holy a person would be before they quite make it to that point of perfection. And yet, even the smallest act of perfect love is greater than all of the acts of love combined that you have ever done in your entire life. Now, I say that to be able to say, now, think about our Blessed Lady, who was absolutely perfect from the moment of her conception. So if the smallest act of love is greater than everything else that we've done, she started holier than the holiest of the saints who have made it to that perfection. And so when we talk about her growing in charity, growing in love at every single moment, growing in grace at every instant of her life, that growth is not just a little bit, it's exponential. And she kept growing more and more and more. And so she is truly the holiest human person ever to have lived. More than that, that holiness translates into heaven. And the saints tell us that her holiness is greater than all of the angels and all of the saints combined, which is why she is higher than all of them. And it all began with her Immaculate Conception. And so that's why we celebrate that, because she's the only person, the only human person to have this kind of distinction. She's the only one among us who has actually lived human life the way that God intended it to be. Adam and Eve were created without sin. They were given everything that they needed. They had all the grace there at their disposal. All they had to do is cooperate, and they chose against it. It's the way that you and I were supposed to live. But because of what Adam and Eve did, and then, of course, what all of humanity has done ever since then, we come in to the world with sin on our soul. We're brought into a very sinful world. And tragically, we've all given in to those sins time and time and time again. So what an extraordinary thing that there was one human person who didn't do that. So she is singular among all of humanity in that way. And what a blessing. Now we also recognize as we talk about all of that, that the church gives to us this second reading, reminding us that God has chosen us, you and me, from all eternity. It's one thing to be able to look at it and say, from all eternity, God determined that his son was going to become a human being, and therefore that he would need a mother. Not because God needed to do it that way, because he chose to do it that way. Jesus could have just simply dropped down into the earth as a 33-year-old man, gone to the cross, and that would be it. He didn't. Because God determined that he would live a fully human life, and therefore God himself determined that he would need a mother. And so from all eternity, God chose our Blessed Lady. We don't know why it was her. Why was it at that time instead of in our time? Why was it not before or after that? We don't know. That's God's. That's entirely up to him. But out of all of humanity, from all eternity, because this was the determination he had made regarding his own son, he also determined that this one extraordinary woman would be created for his son so that she would be the worthy place for the beginning of his human life. He came to redeem us from sin, and therefore he had no personal union with sin. In other words, even in his mother's womb, she had never sinned, and so was pure and perfect in that way. So we can understand when you look at it from that point of view and say, okay, from all eternity, this is what God did. But that's not what St. Paul said. He didn't simply say, okay, regarding Jesus and Mary, that was a decision God made from all eternity. That would make perfect sense, but that's not what he said. He said, God chose us. God chose us before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? To be holy and without blemish before him. That's what our lives are to be. That's what we're to be striving for. What Our Lady had from the very beginning, as I mentioned, what St. John of the Cross talks about that we can achieve, that's what we're supposed to be about. Ridding ourselves of sin, growing in holiness, being filled with the grace of God. If Stephen can be called full of grace because his holiness had achieved that level, you and I can be as well. It's not easy, it's not quick, and yet, by God's mercy and by his grace, it is possible. And so that's why St. Paul tells us that we are to exist for the praise of the glory of God. So now as you look at your own life, ask yourself, is that what you see? Do you recognize that you are made for God's glory, that you exist for God's glory? Our Lady did that at every instant of her life. Obviously, our Lord did because he is God. But you and I are called to that. We are to exist for the glory of God. That's a pretty profound statement. And most of us, the way we live, we don't demonstrate that very well. So maybe this is an opportunity for us to be able to make that choice, to get on that track. We have not only our Blessed Lady, who is without sin and therefore now is interceding for us before the throne of God, but she's also our mother, interceding for us before the throne of God. And she is the patroness of the United States of America, just as St. Boniface is the patron of Germany, or St. Patrick is the patron of Ireland, and so on. Our Lady's Immaculate Conception is the patroness of America. So we already have a special place in her heart because she's our mom, but we have a special place in her heart because you and I are in a special way consecrated to her as citizens of this country. So we are to be able to show to the world, as a country, as a people, as individuals, what it is to exist for the glory of God. That's the challenge posed to each one of us, to look to Our Lady, to look to our Blessed Lord and see how they did it. Obviously, we're not going to do it perfectly as they did. We can't. But it's to strive for that, to begin to form ourselves that way, to shape ourselves into a people who are truly holy, to a people who truly are seeking with our whole heart and soul and strength the glory of God. Now we look at that and say, it's not possible. And I will simply remind you what we heard at the end of the gospel. Nothing is impossible for God. And when Our Lady looked at something that seemed absolutely impossible, she responded with faith. When Eve looked at something, she gave into the doubt. Don't give into the doubt. For God, all things are possible. That includes making you a saint. That doesn't mean making you so that you can eke your way into heaven and hopefully be the last one in. It means to make you full of grace so that you exist for the glory of God. And only God can do that. You can't do that for yourself. You have to cooperate. But only God can do that. And so I can only pray and recommend that you look at Our Lady's response and that you respond in likewise, in kind. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word.